Today's first reading is from Matthew's Gospel. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. John tells the story a little bit differently. So when Jesus had dipped that piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the bread, Satan entered into him. But Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you're going to do." Please pray with me. Dear God, give me the strength and the wisdom to let my lips show forth your praise on this day, as always. Amen. The old preacher said, you've got to get this story straight if you want to tell the story right. So what is the story of the Judas event? Is it the very human story of a base betrayal? Or is it a simpler story of satanic possession? I know which story seems straight to me. I am, after all, a liberal Protestant, raised in a congregational diaspora in a university town by university professors. We were taught the historical critical method of biblical interpretation on our pastor's knee. So this mention of Satan over in John's story makes me a little uncomfortable. I mean, what are we really going to do with a story about Satan? We're not really sure we even believe in Satan. He belongs in a Saturday Night Live sketch, not in a sermon. So Matthew's completely understandable, plausible, realistic story with no supernatural intervention appeals to me. Judas goes to the authorities and asks how much they will pay for Jesus' location. They answer him with a delightfully precise response, 30 pieces of silver. So clear that this itself has become a symbol of betrayal. And after all the moral ambiguity in the Bible up to this point, Matthew has hung a big neon sign up with an arrow pointed at Judas saying, "This is a bad guy doing a bad thing. Just this one time, it's okay to judge him." Which we like too, because we've all been betrayed. We've all felt betrayed. And in Judas, we see the confirmation of all of our deepest suspicions about the motives of those who have betrayed us. And that's where our love of identifiable facts and plausible stories gets us into trouble. Matthew, in his precise and believable way, teaches that Judas betrayed Jesus. That betrayal is part of our human experience. And we learn this lesson a little too well. If you wander the halls here at HDS every fall, you can get a taste of some of the betrayals people feel in their own lives. Where are the practical courses to prepare me for ministry? Why are all these MDivs at Harvard anyway? They're not scholars. Why doesn't Harvard allow faith in the classrooms? We too feel betrayed, led to believe that HDS was one thing. We arrived to find that it was something else. Someone let us down, as Judas let us down. And so our feeling of betrayal turned to righteous judgment. Not now of Judas, but of our peers and professors. And in that judgment, we get the story wrong. And I know all about getting the story wrong. As some of you know, before HDS, I sold software. My title was sales engineer, and it was my job to convince the customers that our sales rep wasn't lying. Sometimes easy, sometimes hard. At my first company, a constantly on the verge of succeeding but ultimately failing startup, I worked with the sales reps to convince the customers that they had a problem our software could solve. We were a team. It was us against the customer. But sometimes a sales rep would betray me. He would tell the customer that the software could do something it was not designed to do, leaving me to clean up the mess. Now, those of you who know me may be a little surprised by this next confession. I sometimes responded to this sense of betrayal a little intemperately. Following difficult conversations with the sales rep, non-vital pieces of the clutter on my desk might find themselves flying at high speed into the nearest wall. From time to time, one of these Judases, after a particularly egregious betrayal, might be told that he was incapable of selling even the most simple of software, much less the complex behemoth that we were charged with selling, and in fact was fit only to sell spatulas. That actually happened. Why was I so filled with rage and spite at them? I blamed them for our company's failings. The story I was telling myself, and anyone who would listen, was that but for these Judases and their betrayals of me, the software, and the company, my life would be great. The company would be successful. I would be rich and happy, rather than frantic and strained. But I had the story wrong. I was living in a story about Judas, rather than a story about Jesus. And that's why, despite my bias and temptation, I think it is John that gets the story straight. The story isn't about Judas, a guy who can blame and judge for betraying Jesus. It's about Jesus, who overcame death and showed us how to have a new beginning, a resurrection, and who had a friend that was a little confused. John acknowledges that it was Judas Iscariot who turned Jesus over to the authorities, but he makes sure we know the story isn't about him. The story is about Jesus and how the presence was so threatening to the powers of darkness that they had to come up to earth to get rid of him. But it didn't work. He saw them for what they were and said to them, "Bring it on, but do what you're going to do quickly. I have this temple to build and only 3 days to do it." By making the story about Jesus, John reminds us that judging people is the old way of doing things. That's not our job and not our worry. You want to hate Judas? Why? Jesus won. He showed us the way, and it's to turn away from hate. Why don't you leave your fight with Judas and join the winning side? Nurturing our sense of betrayal gives the darkness a chance to come up and snatch the victory away. Every day we are faced with a choice of how to tell our stories. Are they about triumph and resurrection, or about betrayal and darkness? Jesus or Judas? Is our story about how someone else has wronged us, has gotten in our way, or has disappointed us? Or is the story about how we managed to achieve what we wanted to achieve anyway? The story you choose is the story you live. When I was seeing Judases all around me in my life, I was miserable. A life of betrayal and darkness wears you out. But there is another way. And to find it displayed in all its glory, all you need to do is go to church. Well, a church. The Memorial Church over in Harvard Yard. Go over to that church and look up on the wall listing the World War II War Dead. There are two names listed for the Divinity School, and the second is Adolf Samwald. After his name, in parenthesis, appear the words, "enemy casualty." It must have been awfully tempting for the committee that was designing that memorial to look on him like Judas, betraying Harvard and siding with the Nazis. And indeed, there was a wicked outcry when that wall was revealed and his name was on it. But rather than telling the story of betrayal, consigning him to the anonymity of the archives, the committee decided to tell a different story. Their story was, the war is over. He, like all the rest of the names on that wall, is dead. He was no less a Harvard man for the side he was fighting on, and it would tarnish our victory and prolong the war to leave him off. It would demean us. They had the choice: make the story about Judas or make it about Jesus. They picked Jesus and left the war behind. We are faced with this choice every day. What will our choice be?